Thank you very much. You are welcome, Honorable Mr. Sipho Mthweni. Welcome to this interview for the appointment of the board members of the NYDA. My name is Fizi Makhali. I'm with the co-chair, Honorable Masi Malombola. And on my right are members of this committee, members of parliament serving in this ad hoc committee. I'm not going to introduce all of them in the interest of time. As you know, we're supposed to start at 9. We were just busy with some few housekeeping issues. But you are welcome. We're going to ask you some questions. You must feel free. And be relaxed. I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself. Tell us who you are. What the qualifications, experience, and what is it that you are offering as a potential member of the NYDA. Basically, I'm asking you to sell yourself in about 3 minutes. Yeah. No, thank you very much, Honorable Chairman. Greetings to the panel, the co-chairpersons, and the honorable members. Indeed, my name is Sifiso John Mthweni, better known as Tom among the youth fighters. But for purposes of this interview, I'll just be Sifo or my family. Chair, I was born and raised in a small township of Mutatema in Limpopo. Grew up around Limpopo, went to school in Gauteng, matriculated in Excelsior High School, went to Varsity and then Port Elizabeth Technical, which later became the Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University, where I enrolled for a course in sports management. Within the institution, I was a student activist. I was a member of the South African Student Congress. In fact, the campus that I studied in is in George, which is in this province, which was a campus that was really faced with a lot of transformational challenges. Part of me being an activist, were able to establish proper functioning structures of the student movement, which ultimately got me to be elected as a chairperson later, as the head of the Student Representative Council of that particular campus. We oversaw processes of the merger from the Port Elizabeth Technical to the Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University. I've also, even before being in that particular platform, was a community activist, joined the ANC Youth League at the age of 14. I also owned my own developmental soccer team, under 14 and under 17, which still exists up until this very day and age. I was an SME practitioner for the Small Enterprise Development Agency, wherein my role in particular as a business advisor was to encourage the establishment of youth businesses. In fact, out of the 24 success stories that I've had, 8 of them are existing businesses that we started from scratch, which were youth-owned businesses that we initiated through various venture creation projects. So one has been involved very seriously on issues of youth development. I've also been involved in my organization, the African National Congress. In fact, I'm the youngest member of the Provincial Executive Committee of the ANC in the Western Cape. Even before I was elected at that level, I've served in all other levels. The first time I was elected as the chairperson of the ANC, I was a tiny 23-year-old. I served in the Regional Executive Committee and the Regional Working Committee. I served in the Provincial, as I'm serving currently in the Provincial Executive Committee. I also served in the National Executive Committee of the ANC Youth League. I've served in all other structures, the provincial executive, and I was the regional chairperson of the ANC Youth League in the Southern Cape. So my role in youth development has been there from 1998 up until today. I continue to be a youth activist. I continue to assist young people, particularly around issues of sport, around issues of education and training, around issues of SMMD development. So in a nutshell, Chair, one has been quite active around those parameters. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The first question will be asked by Omar Mohapi. Thank you very much. Good morning, Mr. Museni. Mr. Museni, the first question will be around NYDA. NYDA is being led, or it derives mandate from the NYDA Act. My first question would be, what are the functions that are stipulated in the Act that you know? Two, in your own assessment, with regard to the performance of the current NYDA, what has been your observation? Has it been performing well? If yes, how? If it has not been performing well, what has been the constraints? And lastly, in your case, should you be successful, how will you improve the performance of the NYDA? Give practical example. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thanks, Honorable Chair. The functions of the National Youth Development Agency, as envisaged by the Act, firstly, is to look at the issue of the national service, issue social cohesion, economic participation of young people, issues of policy, research and development, issues of governance, training and development, issues of youth advisory, the management of the National Youth Fund. So basically, the NYTA functions would speak to those populations. With regards to whether the AJC has been impactful, I would phrase my answer with a yes and no. Yes, in the sense that the agency has been around since 2008. It faced its own challenges within its development, having to bring together two institutions, the National Youth Commission, the Usobozi Youth Fund, the integration of the staff and all those other processes. So that may have created its own challenges, as well as perception issues. You may find that society would have wanted to view one objective, low subjectively, the agency as an extension of a particular youth formation. So that on its own created an identity crisis for the institution. But Chair, I must say that over the last 2 years or so, the agency began to go into the right footing. The agency got clean audit and qualified audit. Notwithstanding the fact that the agency has funding constraints, the funding currently that is being given to the agency, over 40% of it goes to salary. Which means that the money that is left for your development becomes small. But also, the challenges that the agency has faced, because within the Act, it indicates that the agency will exist at national, province, you would also find the agency within municipal areas. But currently we find that the agency, yes, would exist at a national level, but when it comes to provinces, you don't find the provincial boards, you don't find the provincial offices of the NYTA. When you do find branches of the NYTA, you find them in metropolis areas. Your outskirts, rural areas, those people still cannot access the agency. So that would be the challenge that the agency is facing. And therefore, what would be my role coming into the agency? I think one of the issues of the identity crisis that the agency is facing is because the agency is unable to communicate regularly its program, is unable to really rally young people around its own vision, its own initiatives and so on. If that works, for those who need to know what the NYTA is doing, they actually have to go into the internet and research. We need to dismantle that. We need to make sure that the agency actually starts existing alongside people. Now, the funding constraints, of course, are the ones that result in the agency not being found in provinces and in municipalities. Now, part of the Act speaks about mainstreaming youth development. Now, what we need to do, firstly, all departments of government should have youth directories within their own units. All provincial, provincial governments must also have youth advisories in the premier office. You must have a youth advisory in all other departments, but also all the municipalities, whether within the mayor's office or whatever, must have their own youth units. And what the NYTA needs to do is to ensure that you harness all of them, you mainstream all of them, the NYTA becomes the key driver in ensuring that youth development becomes mainstream. It speaks to one issue, it speaks to one strategy, it speaks to one objective. And I think it's one of the areas that will come in and attempt to address it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Pamamo Sibukwana. Next question.
Thank you, Chairperson. Modest Sisto. The National Development Plan presently highlights that having a relatively young population can be very advantageous for this country. And provided that the majority of the working age individuals are fully employed. With this in mind, can you please take into consideration the current labor market situation in South Africa now? And what can you recommend to ensure that public and private institutions prioritize the employment of the youth, the young people, both skilled and unskilled, and with the aim to reduce the youth unemployment that is existing in South Africa? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and the Abdelama. Indeed, South Africa is a youthful nation. The NDP recognizes unemployment, poverty, inequality as the triple challenges that face society currently. Now, unfortunately, and I think it's one issue that NYDA will have to play a very crucial role in its advocacy, is that the issue of youth unemployment, we tend to pay lip service. We say, indeed, that unemployment, young people are unemployed, but we are not taking decisive and radical steps in ensuring that we deal with the issue of youth unemployment. For instance, you have various categories of unemployed youth. You've got unemployed graduates, which can't enter the market because they are told that they do not have job experience and so on. You have those ones who are unskilled, do not have the necessary qualifications, but can be absorbed into the labor market, but they are not there. Then you have discouraged job seekers, those ones who have really given up in looking for jobs. It's because decisively we are not speaking, particularly at the level of government and the private sector, to say, how do we infuse young people, how do we legislate it to ensure that it happens? For instance, Chair, I would believe that the NYDA, one of the first things that it needs to do in engaging government and the private sector is to engage legislate the issue of at least companies employing 40% of young people within their labor force. Perhaps we need to engage the Department of Labor to bring such an act to Parliament to ensure that really you can't have companies that continue to absorb the older labor market while young people remain outside. For me, I think radical steps need to be taken. 40% of all companies that employ people must employ young people. 40% in all departments of government must employ young people, so as to ensure that really we are decisively dealing with this issue of unemployment of young people. Because if we just pay lip service to it, we just say, no, young people are unemployed, we must deal with it, but we are not putting systems and legislation in place to ensure that young people really get absorbed. On the issue of unskilled young people, really also the NYDA must play a very critical role in ensuring that the issue of skills development takes place. And I want to come to this thing with your indulgence, Honorable Chair. That one of the things that really we need to start popularizing, start talking about, is this concept of the TVET colleges that are there. Because in the TVET colleges, that's where you find the vocational skills and so on, and various other skills that young people who are not necessarily university certificated can actually take advantage of. Our country is in need of plumbers, carpenters, electricians, and so on. But you find that those particular TVET colleges also, they are not necessarily attractive to young people. They are not necessarily a space where young people want to find themselves in. Now, one of the things that we need to do, particularly ourselves as the NYDA, is to go and really popularize the issue that we absorb those particular young people there, but produce them not only as job seekers, but as job creators. Which brings me to my last point, Chair, that
a part of the FMMD or entrepreneurship development program that the NYTA needs to roll out, needs to speak about how do you, why people themselves create jobs for fellow young people. Because if they are able to support a young person who's running a small little business in a corner there, assist them with training and development funding, that particular business grows, employing 5-10 more people. Those 10 more people, in fact, what you have done is that you have now got 10 more breadwinners in their own home. So, part of the entrepreneurship development program must lead to also young people becoming employers rather than employees. That's my research. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Kaula.
Thank you, Chairperson Sawana Simpson. We are going to talk about good governance. I would like you to unpack your understanding of good governance for us. Tell us what you understand by good governance, and then how would you ensure that the principles of good governance, which are appointed to the board, also become the order of the day at the NYTA. And lastly, what can we teach us in principles of good governance? So the three in one, your understanding of good governance, what would be your contribution to ensuring that good governance is practiced at the NYTA, if you do believe in it, of course. And lastly, what you think are the, what is your understanding of what you think are the features or the principles of good governance? Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Saying yes, we do that. Time is now. We're left with 15 minutes. This is the third question, the three more. Okay, thanks.
No, thanks, Honorable Chair, thank Mam Kaume. Indeed, let me start by saying I do, I'm a firm believer in good governance. Let me get that one out of the way. I have been part of an agency who, for a very long time, has been known for clean and good governance, clean audits, the Small Enterprise Development Agency, which has been honored to have been one of the managers in one of the district offices. Now, good governance for me, one, it's about transparency. This is a state institution. Everything that we do, we use public money. There must be transparency, there must be accountability for everything that we do. There must be adherence to law, the PMMA. There must be a zero tolerance to corruption. We must develop proper governance systems that will ensure that the agency functions properly. For instance, the board must discharge its own fiduciary duties at the board without necessarily entering into the nitty-gritties of the executive. But at the same time, the board must be an active board in ensuring that the CEO and the ELCO that would have been there adhere to the agreed principles of good governance by the board. So, I think in putting everything in one, we speak about transparency, we speak about accountability, we speak about zero adherence to corruption, we speak about accountability. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sake.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, Samson. My question mandate the NYTA to come up with an integrated youth development strategy for the country. And in your own understanding, can you elaborate more of this integrated youth development strategy and why is that important for the development of young people in this country? Thank you.
Indeed, the integrated youth development strategy seeks to integrate and harmonize all youth development structures and systems in our country, develop one strategy, a seamless strategy that will take us to a particular destination. Currently, the strategy that we had was the 2012-2016 strategy, meaning that the incoming board, which hopefully will be part of, will then be able to develop a strategy taking us forward. Now, part of what I raised earlier is that you find that in many instances, there are youth development things that are happening in municipalities, provincial government, in the private sector, in the civil society. Now, part of what the integrated development strategy needs to do is to bring everything. You need to know what the left hand is doing and what the right hand is doing. Develop one thing, the NODA becomes the coordinator, takes the coordination role, and is able to champion that particular youth development strategy, in line, of course, with the youth policy of 2020. So, in my understanding, Chair, the integrated youth development strategy must harmonize, bring everything on board, and play the development strategy that will take youth development to one destination. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mwan.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to Buddhist Wisdom. I've got just one question for you. I'll take you through the briefing, the National Youth Policy 2015-2020 vision. And I'm sure you are aware that it was developed to redress the historical imbalances and the wrongs of the past regarding the young people, and also to focus on specific needs and challenges of youth. Now, as this just said to us, you are positive that you are confident that you might be part of the incoming board. Now, tell us, if you get employed, how would you be expected to implement the policies of the board? What, in your own view, what the board should do in order to make sure that we achieve the goals and objectives of the national policy, in your own understanding?
Thank you, Honorable Mdrap. The technicians are saying, you know, there's a lot of energy there from your side, so that's why. So if you can still speak to the mic, but be a little bit back, yeah.
No, thanks, Chair. I am a very energetic young man who speaks in stadium. But anyway, I think, firstly, the issue of the youth policy, which of course was adopted by all stakeholders, young people and so on, I think even before the NYDA can actually take it and put it on a right footing, I think one of the first things that we need to do is to go back to the young people and get their buy-in as a whole. Because the youth policy in South Africa is supposed to be a youth charter. It's supposed to be something that young people really live by. And we need to ensure that indeed young people as a whole, the entire society buys into it, understands it properly, makes it user-friendly. Secondly, all offices of the NYDA, from the reception, everywhere, the youth policy must be on the wall so that indeed young people understand it. We must develop pamphlets, take them everywhere, even up to schools, because the youth policy also speaks a lot about education, training and development and so on. So, my Honorable Mwango, really is about popularizing the youth policy, getting a buy-in, ensuring that really young people live by it. It becomes almost like a Bible that young people use to portray it. But I think lastly also, I think one of the positive things that the youth policy is able to do is that besides the many backgrounds and the many sectors of youth that we come from, the many political persuasions that young people come from,
young people were able to come together and say, this is what all of us defines us as a common objective. And I think one of the things that we need to do in discharging the police is that there needs to be regular engagement among the different role players within the youth development arena, including various political formations, to ensure that what becomes common objective becomes what drives us. All political formations should be the ones that are behind the particular policy and ensure that they support the agency in implementing it. But indeed, the agency needs to be a principal driver of that particular policy and ensure that it's popular, it's user-friendly, young people understand it as a whole. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The last question was asked by Honorable Mukomi.
No, thank you very much, everybody. And welcome, Mr. Mutui. I think you are very aware when I look at the city, I saw your background. We are aware that the National Youth Development Act is emphatic on the principles for youth development, and these principles are historically in the Department of South Africa. Now, because of these principles, there has been a battle of ideas to delegitimize the NYDA. So what could be the strategic communication program that will save the face of the necessary development? Because they're necessary, but because of the battle of ideas, therefore, there is a level of being delegitimized. So what would be your program if you are being appointed?
Okay. No, thanks, Chair. I'm just going to.
Yeah, like he talks about the principles, reflect a bit more on the principles of his development as well.
Okay.
Just to add on his question.
Okay. No, thanks, Chair. I think, firstly, and I just want to link this response to what I said earlier. There seems to be, of course, a perception out there that you know, the agency is there to serve a particular purpose. And I think part of the reason is that there is no regular engagement between the agency and all youth stakeholders in ensuring that what becomes a common objective is what drives. And for me, it's one of those things that indeed we must do that. The National Youth Development Agency is an agency of all young people in South Africa. All young people must go to the agency, look at it, and identify it. You need not to have any youth structure that may seek to say the agency is there for this and that. Now, part of the delegitimization, Honorable Code, of course, would derive itself from the political arena. I come from an organization that represents over 600,000 young people. Now, it can't be that that particular organization with such a large membership would be something that would be viewed as illegitimate and as not fitting to can be able to run the particular agency. But what we did not do from that particular organization is to enter such institutions and start advancing agenda that are narrow, that seek to advance the agenda of that. When we come in, our first role is to unite young people, all of them, behind one common vision of youth development. So I'm saying that, Honorable Ghosn, one of the things that we need to do quite hard, quite deliberately, is to ensure that we claim the image of the organization and ensure that really it lives up to what it has been formed for. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was the last question. I wonder if there's any clarification, any follow-up from the members. Honorable Kremwa, Honorable Kansin will come on the next one.
Thank you very much, Chair. You spoke about being involved in the establishment of 24 about the health of the NP, but then you recall that the whole enterprise finance agency and other institutions have been giving about 1 billion rand or so to the side for this incident. the Secretary General then indicates that a majority of Houston startups, rather, the new ones, do not make it past the second year. So the incubation program are not successful. I'm interested in you unpacking the success of these cases. The NYA is asking a lot of money. I mean, it becomes basically expensive for them to do not succeed and do not go past their second year. And you spoke about job creation and job seeking. So I would like now practical interpretation or practical unpacking of how we ensure that the money being pumped into new businesses is sustainably used and that these businesses do not collapse, and how we can go about ensuring that the businesses and create the jobs that should be
successful. Yeah, no, no. Okay. Yeah, yeah, no, no, thanks, Chen. Look, part of the mistake that funding institutions make in funding businesses is that there's always that attempt to just look at the bottom line. Is this business profitable or not? But the background in which I come from, Honorable Chair, the Small Enterprise Development Agency in particular, it's not a funding institution, but it's a developmental institution in the sense that what we did, an entrepreneur that walks through the door, that particular entrepreneur, what a good idea or a bad idea, we take that particular entrepreneur through training, from your pre-startup training to what is the business plan, how do you develop a business plan, how do you run your own finances, because what you find in many of these businesses is that somebody runs a hair salon or somebody runs a car wash in the corner, somebody comes in there, you say to that particular person, you take money, you put it in your pocket, you take change out of the other pocket, and you give that particular person. That is not how businesses get run. That's what actually collapses those particular businesses, because there seems to be a misunderstanding between what is profit and what is actually an income that is coming into the business. Because in some cases, you may find that businesses are unable to calculate their own expenses. What becomes the expenses of the business? What becomes the markup on a particular product? So one of the things that we need to do as an agency, before we start funding those particular good businesses, we need to pull the CDRs of this world, we need to pull all other stakeholders that assist those particular businesses with training, with capacity building, to ensure that by the time they run those particular businesses, they understand at least the basics of how a particular business operates. So what made my client to be very successful? We appointed mentors. So in other words, we went into industry, looked at the people that have actually succeeded over many years, appointed those particular mentors and said to them, be handholders for this particular business, just to jump that particular leap that we speak about, particularly this 2 to 3 year aspect of SMEs that become challenges. So I think one of the things that we need to do, invest in mentors, invest in training, invest in development, ensure that by the time you fund a fully fledged entrepreneur that is able to sustain their own business and take it forward. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Mtsweni. As we agreed, there's going to be only one follow-up. This one was taken by Honorable Temwa. I noted, Kasim, you come in on the next candidate. So, welcome then. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You know, we were supposed to be strict on time, but I see there is just 5 minutes that we have allocated you more. But we would like to thank you very much. 5 minutes is not much. I'm sure we can do that with the other candidates as well. Thank you very much for coming. We will deliberate after this, and afterwards agree to submit our report to the both Houses of Parliament, and after the Houses of Parliament has agreed, it will then go to the President. Then the President will finally appoint the members. So you'll know by then if you've been successful. Thank you very much for coming. Let's allow Mr. Mutsweni to leave and then you'll raise your question. Thank you very much, Mr. Mutsweni.
I wanted to raise this thing. I'm going to give the candidate an opportunity to ask the question because I think it's
all for me. The problem time has lapsed. We still have got 12 more candidates. Thank you very much. Honorable Shibukwana wanted to quickly run to the ladies. I guess we must hold on a bit until she comes back. And it was gone. Can you call the next candidate? Sergio Montenegro. We are going to ask you a couple of questions. I'd like you to relax